Going through a divorce, ending up a single mom with three kids, experiencing homelessness. Sounds like the beginning of a really sad story, doesn't it? But it's not. It has a really great ending. Hey y'all, it's Kelly McCauzy. You're listening to Love People and Make Money. This is episode number 26 with Kenya Halliburton as my guest. We had such a great conversation. She is inspiring to me. I really felt connected with her, especially in the experience of being a single mom and having some really rough times. I think you're going to be inspired. Enjoy. Hey guys, you're back with Kelly, and I'm joined now by my special guest, Kenya Halliburton. Hi, Kenya.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm so tickled to get to know you better. Doing this podcast is my fast pass to making new friends.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So Kenya, tell me, first of all, well, where are you from? Where do you live?
Well, I am originally from Detroit, Michigan. And I currently reside in Huntsville, Alabama.
So you're a mom, you've got three boys.
Yes.
You mentioned in your bio to me that they're already entrepreneurs. So what does that mean?
Yeah, they're, I've just helped them launch a media company. So they are doing videography and photography. They're also authors. I have three of them. Only two of them are authors, my oldest and my middle one. They just wrote books through a nonprofit program here that helps children increase self-confidence through learning how to communicate, and that's via writing, public speaking, media, and starting businesses. It's been pretty incredible.
I need to know more about this videography thing.
Yeah, well, the boys, I have three active boys, and so we call the company And Action Media because they're always in motion. It's kind of a spinoff of what I do because I was trying to look for things that I could do with my boys since I'm a mompreneur. And, you know, sometimes when you are a mompreneur and you have kids, there you can have some of that mom guilt because you're like trying to get your business going and you're trying to figure out how to spend time with your kids. And so I was trying to find a happy medium, and that was kind of a way that I can kind of incorporate what I do with kind of their general interests as well. So
that is so cool. So who are they serving?
Right now, they're actually serving the same audience that I'm serving. They're helping entrepreneurs do things like mini commercials, YouTube videos, and promotional things like that. They also have started doing events. So they actually, we did a videography for a Huntsville Children's Business Fair here locally that happened like a month or so ago. So we are in the process of producing that. So... I know. It's been pretty cool.
I have nieces and nephews that are 11.
Uh-huh. And,
they're taking turns spending weeks with me this summer. And last week I had the boys and they went to media camp. There's a local TV station, one of those community stations, and they offered a media camp. So they got to go spend 2 days there at the station experiencing all of the different positions that you can work doing media, being in front of the camera, behind the camera, doing sound, all of that. They had a blast. Do your boys love the technical behind the scenes stuff, or?
They rotate a little bit. I've noticed that my youngest, he's kind of open and flexible. We call him the boss baby because he's really all about the business side of things. He likes collecting the money. And then my oldest, He likes being in front and behind the camera. I think he prefers to be in front of the camera. So we've had him do interviews with local business owners because they're working on the YouTube channel too. My middle one, he actually loves holding the camera and taking pictures and doing that part of it. So I kind of try to let them play in the area that they feel the most excited about. Otherwise, it can become a disaster, as you can imagine.
I need the link to this YouTube channel for the show notes because I know listeners are going to be so curious.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about you. When you were young, did you get the opportunity to stretch your entrepreneurial rings?
I don't know that it was more entrepreneurial. I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. My father was always up to something. And so I think I kind of modeled him. I was very inspired by the arts. So I guess in a sense, yes, because, you know, at some point in my high school years, I started to fall in love with choreography and songwriting. And so for a good period there, that was, I just, my dream initially in a former life was to become, you know, a hit songwriter and choreographer. And I got to live a little bit of that in my early 20s. I got to choreograph for some artists at a local record company in Detroit, Michigan. And so I got, I guess, yeah, now that you mentioned it, I've always had the chops for entrepreneurship, and I did have a family that kind of let me try things. So I'm sure that's why I'm the way that I am with my boys now.
let's talk about where you are today. Okay. If you're running into somebody at an event and they say, "Hey, Kenya, what do? How do you answer them?"
Usually I would say that I am a signature course creation expert and life-friendly business strategist for women entrepreneurs with big ambitions and complicated lives. And usually they're like, "Wow, what does that mean?" And then I get to, you know, have a very fun conversation about what it all means.
I love that life-friendly business choreographer. That is really fun.
Yeah.
Signature course creation. Tell my audience what that means.
I started off as a virtual assistant, and I kind of fell in love with all the moving pieces that are involved in building your business. So then I became an online business manager. And then I became kind of a Jill of all trades. And so early in my entrepreneurial career, I was doing a lot of doing, and which was cool. It was fun. I loved it. But as my life kind of got more complicated and the kids, and I needed a way to really leverage my time and scale myself. In my experience, you know, I've helped people create courses, market courses, and I've known about creating courses and things for a long time. At some point, I realized, you know, all of these things that I do, they really connect. So I decided to figure out, you know, how all the moving pieces of, you know, I've done web design, content creation, ghostwriting, tech support, all of those things. So I was trying to find a way to get out of the trading dollars for hours trap. So what I ended up doing was sewing together all the pieces that I was doing for my clients into a step-by-step process that connected everything that I did. And so once I did that, I had a signature way that I could move my clients to results that gave me different ways that I can work with them based on their ability, their readiness, I call it their readiness, ableness, and willingness to invest. So what that did was it allowed me the freedom to serve my clients based on where they were, and free me up a lot more to meet the demands of my life. And so creating signature courses is something that I've fallen in love with as a way not only for me to build my business, but also to help my clients build their businesses in a very life-friendly way, because that's my thing. So I love the idea of being able to kind of capture your expertise in a process that allows you to kind of rinse and repeat and allows you to kind of get the results while also maintaining the freedom.
So if I've got a listener who has expertise, something that they coach people through, they could come to you and you would help them turn that expertise into a signature course.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what does it look like to work with you? Are you just coaching them through the process and they go do everything? Or is this a roll up your sleeves and help them get it done?
Various levels. So I have the signature program. People can go through it on their own and kind of get the results that's baked into the program step by step. If they want a higher level of support, I do work with them in a group setting through the process. They kind of want that one-on-one hand-holding kind of accelerated results, then I do have an opportunity for them to work with me one-on-one. And I love implementation. What I do with all of my clients is as they're going through my program, they also have access to implementation support so that they don't kind of get stuck in that knowing versus actually getting it done process. So
what does that implementation support look like?
You know, as you're going through the program, you might need help setting up a website, or you might need technical support setting up your funnels or things like that as you're learning how to piece everything together. So what I do is I offer retainers. So you can get 10-hour retainers, 20-hour retainers. It kind of depends on what you need done. I like to try to make it really budget friendly because I know people are at different places in their journey. And so those retainers are there that will provide them the technical support and any support that they need in actually executing what they're learning.
I can come to you and just buy your course on creating courses. Is that what I heard?
Yeah. So within the program, you get to create a course. The program is set up because I have these varying experience and how to kind of sew the web together. I kind of teach you how to string your entire business together. But courses is kind of the meat of it all. It's you know, because if you don't have an offering, you don't have anything to market, and you know, so it's really the meat of it. So you do get to create a course, but you get to kind of know how to build your entire business around that. I just love people being supported and being able to manifest their dreams. And I know how challenging it can be. And that's why I say, you know, I work with women with big ambitions and complicated lives, because I know, you know, things come up, health challenges. I know for me, I went through divorce and homelessness. That's a whole nother talk show.
So I used to be a service pro in that I did web design, graphic design. I did some ghostwriting for a while early on. And as a business coach, I became frustrated a couple of years ago that clients were, we would get together, we would have a call, we would create a great to-do list, but then they would come back to the next call frustrated that they weren't able to knock things off their to-do list. And so I came up with an implementation program that basically I called it my sister please access.
I love it.
Because it's like, so here's the plan. If you get stuck, sister, please call me. Like, there's never a situation where you should be beating your head against your keyboard when you could just get on Zoom with me and we could figure it out. It's a high-end program. You know, it's a client who's ready to say, I've got a lot of money to spend on this project to be able to have that kind of access to me. But I love the idea of the retainer where the client can say, I can afford this much of your time.
Yeah. And I think what's made it better, because initially, you know, people just came to me for whatever they needed. Like, I need a website, I need this, I need that. And that wasn't really sustainable for me, because what usually ended up happening was I noticed that clients didn't really understand how all the pieces connected. And so they would kind of get, you know, 3 months in and be like, oh, well, you know, I have to kind of pause this because I have to go back to the drawing board. Being able to kind of work through a step-by-step process where we are both on the same page, implement the things that they can't do on their own and they can't figure out their own, kind of keeps us going at a steady pace, you know, and not necessarily having to constantly reinvent the wheel every 3, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it looks like, right?
I see how choreographer is a great term because you are helping people to not just get all the bits and pieces done, but have it flow together.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that made sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about that homelessness. So at what point did you experience homelessness?
Well, actually, it was as a result of my divorce. I was in, you know, kind of a troubled marriage for a lot of years after I started my business, and it was very turbulent and unstable. And so it really affected a lot of things, but affected my ability to kind of get my business where I wanted it to go. And I ended up getting divorced, and, you know, I had left several times, and just that last time I just didn't have the financial things that I had in previous times that I tried to leave. And so I found myself homeless. I actually had to leave pretty quickly without having to get things together. I didn't have the money. I didn't have anything. And so I really had to rebuild from scratch, me and my three boys. it was a pretty, you know, as you can imagine, a pretty dark time. And I think going through all of that was when I realized that I had to, whatever I did in terms of my business, it had to be something that fit my life. Because for a lot of years, I tried to hide what was going on in my life. Mm-hmm. I tried to pretend that everything was okay. And it's almost like I tell, you know, my clients, I tell them a lot of times it feels like when you're trying to build your business online and you're hiding behind a lot of chaos and drama, it's almost like your audience can kind of sense it. I don't know. There's a weird energy around it sometimes, and it's really hard to get momentum. And so for me, I wanted to use this experience as inspiration to help myself and my clients build life-friendly businesses, because I knew so many women who were struggling with various issues, whether it be domestic or, like I said, health or just general personal issues that they were trying to break through. And so when I rebuilt my business, one thing that was important for me, and I knew I had to streamline my business by, like I said, creating a signature program and kind of building everything around that. Because I have three boys, one I'm homeschooling, and just to kind of rebuild all of that, rebuild my life after going through that, I knew I never wanted to go back there again. Right. So, you know, it was really important for me to leverage my time, be able to create something that could generate passive and semi-passive streams of income and give me the freedom to also be able to do what I needed to do in order to raise my boys. So that's the kind of short version of it.
A lot of people who find themselves in a terrible situation when they're young, it's like they onboard it. Oh, this is who I am. I'm this person mm-hmm. who struggles, has no choice. Do you know what I mean by onboard? Like, it's like they download it into their programming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't do that.
No.
You said no to this.
I don't like this.
This sucks. Let's make sure this never happens again. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think things that I've experienced even early on in my life, I've always been somebody who wasn't afraid to fail. And I've made a lot of decisions in my life where family and friends were kind of like, what is she doing now? You know, I think I just got really comfortable with failure, and I don't see failure as like a bad thing. I see it as a learning experience. So whenever I do something, whether it's my marriage or whether there's something in my business or something with my kids, and I kind of miss the mark, I don't look at it as, okay, you screwed this up. And I don't internalize it that way. I kind of look at it as an opportunity to, okay, so that didn't work. I know not to do that again. And I'm that much closer to knowing what to do, or I'm that much closer to my goals. And so I don't really know what made me that way. I just have kind of always been that way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's been a blessing, and I'm so grateful to have had that, because it keeps you from kind of getting stuck too long mm-hmm. in one place. And then, you know, fail in what happens and the consequences of failing at something. You kind of look at it like, okay, well, what can we do now? It kind of becomes more of an adventure than anything. Yeah.
Well, I think you're inspiring. And I was a single mom, went through a divorce when Sean was just 2, and I never experienced homelessness, but only by this, you know, only by the grace of God and some good friends, because I was so stupid with my money and irresponsible with debt, and really built myself a big old problem that I didn't get out of until I started my business, you know, my early business story is all about getting out of debt and then realizing, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I've got the ability to create a pretty nice income if I ever turn yeah. my attention to it. And mm-hmm. I did. I count it such a blessing. I have so much gratitude that, like you, I didn't fully onboard yeah. the idea that this is it. My life is always going to be rough. I believe that for about 10 years, I simmered in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it is. I'm a single mom. Life is rough. There's not enough. That's just the way it is. But thankfully, that's not true.
It isn't. And, you know, I think when you're going through something challenging, you do have those moments where you kind of like, you know, and sometimes those moments feel like they, sometimes they actually do last for years. Sometimes it feels like years. But I think getting to a place where you're like, okay, it's okay to process. It's just all okay, you know, and what I've learned is that these moments make us, if we allow them to, you know, like these moments allow us to see what's in us. And obviously, I know a lot of times we're like, you know what, can we have a better way, like an easier way, like a less painful way to figure this out? But, you know, I don't, you know, the homelessness and all of that was actually a really, I know it's kind of weird to say this and you hear people say this, but it really was a blessing because it reinforced something that I kind of guess I knew deep down that I had this resilience and this power in me that was untapped and I was kind of hiding behind in my marriage and, you know, playing small. And so sometimes I believe that things happen in our lives to push us out into our greatness and into our potential. And I think that's what it was for me. And I think, you know, even if some of your listeners are in those places, I would encourage you to just kind of stay strong and look for the opportunities in the chaos. That makes sense.
It does. And there are opportunities in the chaos. There always is.
Yeah.
Kenya, thank you so much for making time to be here with me. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Kelly. It's been a real pleasure.
You said in your notes to me, I have a passion for helping women with big ambition, complicated lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there's someone listening to this right now, many someones who are just so glad that they got to hear from you today. Hey, welcome back. You're with Kelly wrapping up this episode number 26 of Love People and Make Money. I love interviewing people I don't know very well because I get to just ask curious questions and discover new things. And I love that you get to experience that right alongside, right with me. Come back to the website, lovepeoplemakemoney.com, and look for Kenya's smiling face to find links to her course, her YouTube channel, her boys' YouTube channel, so that you can follow her, become friends too. Hey, I am planning like a mad woman, in a good way, my exposure and profit event coming up in October in Atlanta, Georgia. My speaker lineup is complete. I am waiting. I'm having one more conversation before I add the final faces to the website to let you know who all is speaking. Exposure and profit is all about content marketing and community building, and I choose my speakers based on what I see them doing in these areas. They are experts. They are contemporaries. There are newbies. There are mavericks, pioneers, the whole range. I love it because I think I personally, especially when I was getting started, I loved to learn from experts, but I felt really inspired by my contemporaries, people who had similar levels of experience, to see what they're doing and say, oh, they're doing it. I can do it too. I hope you feel that way. ExposureAndProfit.com. Get your ticket. Join us. If you're listening to this podcast during July, I have a ticket premium. It's a gift I'm sending out. It is my Creative Badass Bullet Journal Pack. So I always have a little, fake leather bound journal book that I get from Minimalist Art. And it's just a little journal with grid pages. I doodle in it all the time. I take it with me to events. I take notes. So I've ordered a supply of those. I've ordered a set of bullet journal stencils because not everybody loves to freehand doodle like I do. And I got a set of Creative Badass mugs from my friend Samantha over at HappyFunSassy.com. So I'm putting this mug and this journal book and these stencils together in a package. And when you buy your ticket to Exposure and Profit in July, I'm going to put your name on the package and ship it out right away so that you can start being the creative badass that you are. So get your ticket, ExposureAndProfit.com. I hope to see you there. Thanks for listening to this episode. See you in the next one.